Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. The Church brings us some very dynamic and challenging passages this week at daily Mass. The Gospels in particular, one of the themes that runs through many of the passages is Jesus' call to each one of his disciples to follow. He says, follow me, come follow me. And we get a feel for how radical Jesus' expectation is for those who are saying yes to him and what it means to say yes to him. For example, today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 through 22. It's a short section, but Jesus makes his point very clear. He says, now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. As a scribe came up and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. Those are strong words. And the first encounter, the scribe wants to follow Jesus. He's been captured by Jesus' words, by his life, what he sees in him, and he wants to follow him. He wants to give his whole life to him. And so he says it. He said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus essentially says to him, count the cost. If you're going to follow me, you have to understand where I'm going. And this emerges many times in the Gospels and different encounters Jesus has with people where they draw near to him, they hear him, and they want to respond to him. But Jesus says, hold on just a minute. Before you say you want to follow me, make sure you count the cost. And what we see is Jesus wants everyone to understand that to follow him demands everything. It demands our entire heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's interesting to see here, as in other passages, is that the person who's saying, Jesus, I want to follow you, he understands that what he's saying is he wants to enter into a relationship, a particular kind of relationship with Jesus. You know, at that time in Israel, it was very common to see a rabbi, a teacher who had a set of disciples who followed him. And literally, you could see them walking through the city of Jerusalem, and the disciples would walk sort of single file behind or just to the left or to the right of the rabbi. And their whole life was identified with the rabbi. They'd often come and live with him. And the rabbi would teach him how to live an entire way of life. And they would sit under his teaching and formation and receive everything the rabbi had to give to them. And so this is the context kind of in which these people are telling Jesus, I'd like to follow you. I'd like to be your follower. And so Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, if you want to enter into this kind of relationship, if you want to become my disciple, you need to understand a few things. And the first thing he says is that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Right? God has provided for the animals and the creatures in nature. But what about the Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is Jesus himself, right? He said, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. If you're going to follow the Son of Man, you have to realize the nature of his mission. And it's not going to be a comfortable path. It's not going to be a comfortable road. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be demanding, physically demanding, mentally, emotionally demanding. It's a great challenge. And so Jesus wants them to really come to terms and understand the cost. And he's not afraid to call them to it, which is interesting. I think the church can learn something from Jesus' high call. He never reduces it sort of to, he loves every person he encounters, but to come and follow him as a disciple, Jesus never lowers the bar. It's challenging, it's difficult. He's merciful, he's loving, he's patient, he's kind, but he makes it clear right from the beginning, to follow me is going to require everything, and it's going to require for you to make a decision and a decision of your will. That's what it means to be converted, really, to turn and to give your whole life to him. And then he goes on, And a disciple says to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, that's a very understandable thing meant to say to Jesus, because it was a duty, right? It was a sacred duty in Judaism among the people of Israel to take care of your parents, and there's a whole rite and ceremony around it. What is Jesus saying? Is Jesus saying, disregard your father, don't ever go bury your parents, just let somebody else go do it, let a neighbor do it, let somebody else handle it? What he's trying to say, what he is saying, and what he says in other places, as we'll see, is Jesus wants everyone who becomes his disciple to recognize a very important principle. Nothing takes precedence over the relationship with him. And that applies to us today. To become a disciple of Jesus, to be converted to him, means my life is no longer my own. And the church is clear in understanding that this initial stage of conversion is a decision. It's a decision of the will. It's a decision saying yes to Christ, who we know and we can hear him calling us to a total commitment to him. So there's a difference between initial conversion and a life of ongoing conversion. There's a whole process of transformation that's going to happen for the rest of our lives as we follow him and we go deeper and deeper and we enter into the full experience of the implication of what it means, that what that initial yes meant to Jesus. But I think it's important for us to see, especially in a time when the church is focusing on evangelization, the new evangelization, there's a lot of talk about it, talk about conversion and what it means to follow Jesus. And we can't miss what Jesus himself has to say about it. Here's another key passage that we get insight. We've all heard this many times into what Jesus has to say about what it means to follow him and what it means to be his disciple. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And he said to all of them, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There's a whole world packed in those two verses. What we see fundamentally, Jesus has been preaching and teaching, and he knows that people have begun to follow him, and many people want to be attached to Christ, right? And so Jesus stands and he said, look, if anyone wants to come after me, that's that whole image I said earlier, remember, rabbi and his disciples follow him. If you want to be attached to me, if you want to be identified with me and all that I live for and my teaching, my life, my destiny, if you want to be identified with me, you need to understand something. And here's the conditions of the relationship that Jesus presents to every disciple, even to you and to me, if you want to become a follower of Jesus. First thing we have to see is it's a relationship that begins on his terms, not ours. Here's something I think that is confused today in the life of the church for many of the baptized. We think we call the shots. We design our life. We determine what our priorities are going to be. We kind of expect Jesus to sign off on them, and we compartmentalize our life, and we give Jesus a little part of our life. And then we reduce Christianity to what St. John Paul II called a Christian minimalism. He called it being Christians at risk. That is, we put our toe in the water. We don't take the full plunge. We set up the relationship with Christ on our terms. Instead of hearing Jesus and understanding what it means to make that initial commitment to him. So here he's making it very clear. He's saying, here's the terms of the relationship. Number one, if you're going to follow him, he said, you need to deny yourself. What's he talking about? He's talking about the relationship we have with ourselves, the freedom to decide who we want to be, what we want to be, how we want to use our time, talent, and treasure. We see it in spades, really, a kind of radicalized version of it in contemporary culture today, this the focus on the self and the radical autonomy that we're tempted to cling to and to hold on to. And it's expressed in what we've talked a lot about on the program over the last few years is just the whole self-creative freedom that's being held up as everybody's ultimate right and good. That is, it's my right to determine for myself who I am, my identity, my sexuality, my purpose, my morality. Everything originates in me. And what Jesus is making really clear is that that posture is fundamentally an anti-Christian posture. It's saying, Jesus is saying, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to learn from me, because that's what it means to be a disciple, to be a learner, to be a pupil. The word mathetes is used like 200, for the word for disciples used like 240 times in the gospel and the Acts of the Apostles places. And so it's a key part of the language of what Jesus is using and the relationship that he's establishing. And he's making it very clear. If you're coming after me, you're learning from me. And what I'm going to teach you is a whole way of life. And I'm going to reduce it right down to the foundations, and I'm going to get to the roots, the radical roots of your life, because that thing that's in you, that desire, that thing you believe belongs to you by right, and no one can take it away from you, that is that you're going to be the ultimate origin of all that is important to you, is radically inconsistent with what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You have to deny that thing in you that insists on your own way. Without it, you can't be Jesus' disciple. It's really that clear. What we see today, and because so many of the baptized are basically evangelized by the culture, that is, we're living under different teachers than Christ. We conform ourselves to the way of life of the people who are around us and those who are driving the culture that we're a part of. And so they're saying today, for example, look what just happened, you know, a few weeks back in Ireland, Catholic Ireland, where, you know, multitudes of people, 2/3 of the population are boldly, you know, cheering and dancing and singing because they have asserted their right against not only their own constitution, but against God, against creation. They're asserting their right to say, we will legalize abortion and we're going to celebrate the killing of the unborn. Now, some of those people would consider themselves Catholic or Christian. That's precisely what Jesus is getting at here. You need to deny yourself, your self-will. There's only one question. There's only one thing for a disciple that's on the forefront of his or her mind and heart. What's the will of God? Or St. Paul put it in other terms, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. So in relationship to this question of abortion, there's only one for a disciple, what pleases the Lord? I don't care what the broader culture says. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if everybody in my family has a different opinion. The only one that matters to me is, what does the Master say about it? What is Jesus? What is my Lord, my teacher? What does he want me to do? And that's what I want to do. And then Jesus says, take up your cross daily. That's one of the ways you have to take up your cross. Because Jesus demands of Catholics in a situation where the whole culture is shifting in a different direction, Jesus is saying, follow me. Stand for my teaching. Stand and identify with me and my rule and my reign that the world is resisting. You're going to carry a cross if you do that. There's a lot to say about this. I want to dig into the whole, what it means to be a disciple this week, because one, we should just think about this with some regularity, but there's also so much confusion in the life of the church, and hopefully we can find some clarity this week. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.